You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we want to welcome you to today's broadcast. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to be reading verses 9 through 13. We're going to pick up in verse number 12. We're talking about lifestyle disciplines that show up in people who love God, and they're not long wordy descriptions. They're pretty short, they're pretty concise, and they're important for everybody, not just the pastor. So encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 12. We also want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. Pastor Dennis, who is the face and the brains behind Wyrick Air, he pastors a church here in Central Florida. He also brings the values of the word to his business. They have been in the sales, service, and repairs of air conditioning systems for over 50 years. They work primarily in residential settings and also light commercial settings, and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They go all throughout Brevard County. They're based in Rockledge, but their service area covers everything from Barefoot Bay all the way up to the Scottsmore area. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. And they do provide a great service at a great value. Along with that, let me remind you that things are not as inexpensive as they used to be. Dennis does not go out to sell you something you don't need. He gives you the options that are before you. Sometimes that is a repair. Sometimes it is not possible to repair. He even told me one story about that it was possible to repair, but it was going to be a delay there because of supply chain issues and things like that. So just remember, everything has gone up, and so the price tag you remember from days gone by might not be the same price tag of the economic realities of 2026, but I believe that Wyrick Air has provided me with great value in their service, the church with great value in their service. They are a great resource here in Brevard County. 321-632-9538. We thank them for their friendship and for the love of the Refresh Radio program. Romans chapter 12, Romans 12. Verses 9 through 13, we've been talking about this passage for several broadcasts. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." So on yesterday's program, we were talking about serving the Lord and remembering that He is the Lord. He's the one in the position of authority. That authority position is not us. Second, that because of that relationship, we can rejoice in the confident expectation that we have from being governed by God and His holy nature. And the third thing was being patient, or having patient endurance in tribulation. And that what that means is we have the ability to continue to abide in Christ, remain in the place that He has planted us, and prevail over the pressure, the trouble, and the tribulation, the afflictions that we face from A, either being in a fallen world, or B, facing adversity because of our stance for Jesus Christ. So that brings us to the latter part of verse number 12, where it says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I want to bring the concept of prayer back into connection with verse number 11, the last bit of that trio of counsel, where it talks about serving the Lord, fervently serving the Lord, or serving the Lord, and before that was fervent in spirit. And that is this: prayer keeps us in communication with the commander in chief. It keeps us in communication with the one who is Lord over our life. And the great thing about that is that we get to hear from Him. Yes, I know that prayer is using our voice. Prayer is speaking praise and worship to Him. It is petitioning Him for the needs that we have in our life. But along with all of those realities comes this reassurance that we have from Jesus, that He knows what we have need of before we even ask. Are we supposed to ask? Yes. But we don't need to go into a detailed, you know, they were wearing a blue shirt and had on gray socks and orange shoes. We don't need to go into all of that detail. God already knows what we have need of, knows every detail, and knows the outcome that He has for us. So, with that situation, what we do in prayer is we continue steadfastly in communication, having the ability to hear what God has to say about our situation. And all of that lines up with the Word of God. So continuing steadfastly means that we are supposed to be devoted. I hope that prayer is not a convenience for us. I hope that prayer would be something that we are absolutely committed to, because we need to hear what God has to say to us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not only does that continuing steadfastly mean being devoted to, but it means to attend constantly. So the scripture says, praying always. Never stop praying. Never stop listening for what God has to say. Never stop telling God how much you love Him. Don't ever stop and saying, well, that concludes our prayer time here. No, prayer is communicating with God in whatever we're doing. One of the times that I heard from God the loudest about a situation where I needed His direction, not just His advice, but His direction, it came while I was mowing my grass. Now, I will also tell you this. What I heard from heaven wasn't what I wanted to hear in my flesh. I wanted to hear one thing, but God told me something else. So let me lay this out, because it's very important. In the realm of the spirit, there is the voice of God, which we always want to hear. There is demonic voices that are liars, that we don't ever want to do what they want us to do. And the third thing is that there's the voice of this, of our own spirits. And that one is the most dangerous. The first two are pretty clear to discern. One of them lines up with the Word of God because he's the God of the Word, and the other distorts the Word of God, and things do not line up properly. And don't be afraid to call out, you know, voices of deception or anything like that, because if they don't line up with the Word of God, you don't want to listen to them. The problem is this: sometimes the voice of Bob tells Bob exactly what he wants to hear, and it sounds like God has answered my prayer. Now, I will tell, I am thankful when God uses other people to speak into a situation as a reaffirming voice, where that which I have sensed in my spirit, he confirms through other people. So there was a situation here two weeks ago, and I was calling people from the church. I was just saying, hey, this is Pastor Bob, just checking in, making sure you're okay. I was able to pray for one person who was needing God to touch them physically. There was another person, they don't even live in our area, but when they're in our area, they attend our church. And the last time they were here, they let us know of a transition that had happened in their life, and they had a couple of interviews. They had three interviews lined up for a new job, and they just wanted us to pray. And so I called them to see how things had gone, and they said, thank you so much for calling. This cannot be an accident, because I've been praying all day about which of the jobs that I am supposed to take. There was one that was a job offer, one that they'd had multiple interviews for. Another interview had gone well, but they hadn't heard anything on that situation. And they said, I've been praying all day, and I need God to speak clearly. And so would you mind praying with me about this situation? I'm thankful that prayer is not something that happens just in a one-on-one situation, but it's something that happens when the body of Christ comes together. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves how much we need one another, especially when it comes to prayer. Prayer is something that we are supposed to attend to constantly and be busily engaged in, and to continue to persist in. Pray today. Pray this afternoon. Pray this evening. Pray tomorrow. Prayer should not just be a one and done thing that we do on Sunday mornings when we come to church. It is the privilege that we have of communicating, of petitioning, and hearing from God. It should be done by every believer, and it should also be done in atmospheres where there are people of like faith, where we can come together and come boldly before the throne of grace. So those six things that we have just talked about, of let me read it to you exactly. Not lagging in diligence, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer leads us to the possibility of fulfilling the next admonition that we're given in verse number 13, which is distributing to the needs of the saints. Okay? So, I've been at Merit Assembly of God for almost 34 years. And there's been a learning process through the years of having to figure out how we were going to minister to people's needs. And the reality is that there are numerous people, I won't say a lot, won't say a little, I'll just say numerous people who their version of work is going to churches and asking for help rather than going out and finding job. And my former office manager, she retired, but she worked part-time for our church. She worked part-time for another church. And she said, "Pastor, the people who come here for help are using the same story at the other church where I work at, and they're asking for the same help there." And so we had to come to a place where we said, you know what? If there's a legitimate need, okay, look at that word there, need. It means need that which is necessary. Okay? Not every want is a need. There are things that are a priority and things that are not. So if we find a person in the church and an emergency happens, there's a critical need, we will do whatever we can to help meet that need. Convenient or inconvenient, we will do what we can. And so for numerous single moms throughout the years, we have helped with kids' school supplies and kids' shoes and helped in difficult seasons, car repairs, things of that nature, because it was a legitimate need. If someone is from our church and they know somebody that has encountered a legitimate need in their life, house caught fire, you know, had a death in the family and they need to travel to a different state. If someone in the church that we know says, "Pastor, this is a legitimate need," we'll reach out to be a blessing to them as well. The person who has no relationship, that just wants to call and ask for fun, we don't treat those situations the exact same way. We want to help to minister to the needs of the saints. So if someone does call the church, one of the first things I do is I ask, "What church do you attend?" And if they tell me the name of a church, then I say, you know, I've been in the area so long, I know a lot of the pastors. Let me call them and see what can be done. And that's one response. A lot of times people tell me, "Well, I don't have a church." And it's like, you know, you really need a church. Now, I'm going to say something here. There are two reasons that we need a church. We need a church because sooner or later, every person is going to have a major need in their life. They're going to need someone to be with them during physical challenges, hospitalizations. They're going to need somebody to help with food. They're going to need someone to comfort them during a time of sorrow and loss. They're going to need someone. But you also need to be a part of a church so that you can be a part of the solution to someone else's need. And so we're very thankful that God has taken sinners, redeemed them by the blood of Jesus, set them apart, declared them to be holy, consecrated them, people who've been called out of worldliness by God, and they've been set apart for the glorious work of Christ. And so when missionaries come, we have the privilege of helping meet the needs that they have in their life so that they can return to the field, so that they can tell people about Jesus. It is a privilege to be able to help meet needs. I tell our congregation about a time when I was in Bible college, and there are some people who are born with a golden spoon in their mouth and some people who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and we were born with a plastic spoon or a wooden spoon in our mouth. I didn't come from a great economic background. And so when I got to Bible college, I prayed this prayer: God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you to provide enough for the needs that I have in my life to be met. And I go to chapel shortly after praying that prayer, and there was a speaker that day, and he said, there are a lot of people who pray this prayer: God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you to meet the needs in my life. That's all I'm asking for. And he said, what a selfish prayer. And he said, you are not called to just have the needs in your life met, but you are called to be blessed, to be a blessing, to help meet the needs of the saints. And I can tell you that both aspects are a blessing. So Paul knew what it was like to give sacrificially. He also knew what it was like to be a conduit through which blessing could go to the rest of the saints. There's one last admonition here in verse number 13, and it says this: given to hospitality. That means it is something that is inside of you, that being hospitable is something that you pursue, something you press for, something you're very intentional about. You run after it. And so what does hospitality look like? Hospitality, if you remember up earlier in it says being kindly affectionate to one another. Well, hospitality is expressing practical kindness to others in fellowship and in provision. It means to receive and tend to a guest with generosity. The hotel industry is labeled the hospitality industry. And where motels used to be a place where you could get a room for a night, the hospitality industry has now so many different degrees to where now you can go to places and you get a room. You can go to other places and you can get a room and a swimming pool. You can get a room and a swimming pool, an exercise room. You can get a free breakfast. There are other places that you can go, and it is like a self It's like a self-enclosed resort where everything is available right there. Well, let me tell you, one of the most hospitable places on the planet should be the church. Not that we are looking to create a place of luxury where people do not have to do anything, because after all, remember, it says to serve the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer. But it is a place where people can come and that they will be treated with the dignity that they deserve as a person that Jesus died to save. They're not treated with dignity because they're rich. They're not treated with dignity because they're famous. They're treated with dignity because they're the object of the love of Jesus. The Redeemer wants them saved. And so, whether they're homeless or live in a mansion, they should be treated with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not something that we do as an act. It is something that we should do because it is something we have pursued as individuals and as a church. I hope that when you come to church, you are coming to worship the Lord. And you say, you know what? I know when I get to church, it's going to be like a family reunion. Not because we're all related, but because we all share the Heavenly Father. So that's the way that we love without hypocrisy. So let me read through the text. We love without hypocrisy, and we put distance between ourselves and evil, because God hates that as evil, and we should too. We cling to what is good. We are kindly affectionate to one another. We are not the accuser of the brethren. That's the devil's job. We don't need to be doing that. We give preference to one another in honor. We are not lagging and diligent. We're fervent in spirit. We serve the Lord. We rejoice in confident expectation of who He is. We are patiently enduring in difficulties. We continue steadfastly in prayer. We minister to the needs of the saints with generosity, and we're given to hospitality. That's what the house of God should look like. I hope that you are doing your part, and I'll do my part. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I found in Him a friend.